Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please take note that today's shiur for daf yud gimel will be beginning at the top line of yud gimel amid beis. For daf yomi purists, the beginning of Daf Yud Gimel is part of our Daf Yud Beis recording. You can find the Daf Yud Gimel beginning at the 56-minute, 29-second mark of the Daf Yud Beis recording. Of course, you will find yourself in the middle of a discussion which began at the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, so in order to understand things, if you happen to be taking that option of starting with Daf Yud Gimel, you'll want to roll back to the lower part of Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. We continue on the top line of Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis with a house marking that we indicated in our previous shiur. We started this marking scheme on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and we indicated that it's the value of these house markings, three in total, will be appreciated only a little bit later in the Gemara. We're continuing with the general topic of understanding the Mishnah, the Machlokas in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, which spoke about someone who finds documents, Shtarei Chov, do you return them to the lender or not? We saw a Machlokas in the Mishnah back on Yud Beis Amud Beis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Meir qualified the Halacha, making it dependent on whether the loan document had a property lien written into it, entitling the lender to seize upon properties of the borrower. If it had a lien written in it, which is referred to as achrayas nechasim, our Mishnah said then the loan document, according to Rabbi Meir, is not to be returned. But if the achrayas nechasim clause is absent, then, according to Rabbi Meir, the loan document can be returned. The Chachamim disagreed and said under all circumstances, or I should say maybe under no circumstances, shall the document be returned. The Gemara now, at the top of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Lozer, Machloikis, the disagreement between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, B'she'ein Chayav Moideh, where the borrower does not admit owing the money, where the borrower denies. The Rabbi Meir Savar Shtar, now Rabbi Meir, who holds that a return can be made where there is no achrayas nechasim, no lien written into the loan document. Rabbi Meir says it can be returned to the lender. And once again, the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the borrower denies the loan. So Rabbi Meir holds, Shtar She'ein Bo Achrayas Nechosim, a document lacking a lien written in it, Eino Goyve Loi Mi Meshabdi Velo Mi Bnei Chori. No collection is made, certainly not from purchasers, those who purchased land from the borrower subsequent to the date in the document, not even from properties owned by the borrower himself. Those are the B'nai Chori. So that returning the document to the lender doesn't pose any threat to anybody, to any. And we saw in our previous shiur this idea of returning a document that which was going to be useless to collect with. You would return it so that he could use it as a bottle stopper. Crumple it up and stuff it into the opening of a bottle. That's called Lotsur al Pitzluchiso. The Rabbonan Savri, the Rabbonan, who in the Mishnah said that no loan document is to be returned, even if it lacks Achrayas Nechosim, they hold Migvigovi, that properties currently held by the borrower himself, the Bnei Chorin, are subject to collection. And if you have a scenario where the borrower is denying having ever is denying the loan, so denying owing any money, so you're not going to return it to the lender. And hence the Chachamim say that even if it lacks Achrayas Nechosim, do not return it to the lender. Avol kishechayev moideh. Rebbe Lozer continues to tell us that if the borrower admits owing the money, divrei hakol yachsir, everyone agrees, even the Chachomim in the Mishnah agree, you can return it to the lender. The lo chayshina lepiron ulekinyunya, and we do not suspect any foul play. The foul play we described in our previous year would have been a situation where a lender, a borrower, is claiming, "I still owe the money," when in fact he really paid up the loan, and the return of the document to the lender would be a means of seizing upon purchasers that bought land from the borrower after the date of the loan, and then the borrower and the lender would split the booty, so to speak. Rebbe Lozer, though, says that if you have a borrower admitting that he owes the money, we don't suspect the foul play. And hence, everyone agrees such loan documents can be returned under such circumstances, where the borrower admits he owes the money. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Machloikes Kishechayev Moideh. Rabbi Yochanan says that the disagreement in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is where the borrower admits he owes the money. The Rabbi Meir Sovar, Rabbi Meir says the loan document can be returned to the lender. He holds Shtar Shein Bo Achrayas Nechosim Mimishabdi Hu Delo Govi, a document that does not have a lien written into it, and will, of course, not enable the lender to collect from mishubadim, from purchasers, those who purchased land from the borrower. Avo mivnei chori migvegavi. However, he will be able to collect from money or property that the borrower is currently holding on to, is currently in possession of. And once again, the scenario in the mission is where the borrower admits owing the money. So giving the loan document to the lender, a loan document without Achrayas Nechosim, is not endangering anybody. Certainly purchasers are out of the picture because there's no lien written in it. And the borrower himself is admitting that he owes the money. For Rabbonan Savri, the Rabbonan hold that a loan document, even if it lacks an explicit clause of shibud nechosim, of a lien written in it, they hold mi mishabdi nami govi, that a loan document, though it lacks achrayas nechosim in it, entitles the lender to seize upon purchasers in the event that the borrower doesn't have any means of paying up the loan. And the reasoning there is in Hebrew we say that d'achrayas toy sofer, that the absence of a clean clause is simply an oversight or a mistake on the part of the scribe, because otherwise no one would loan money without having a lien possibility to collect from his properties, even if they're sold, the borrower's properties. And the Rabbanan also consider or concerned with the problem of foul play with kinunya, piron and kinunya. So the Rabbanan say, do not return documents, even if it lacks a lien clause in it. Do not return it to the lender, because you're endangering purchasers who may be seized upon, even if the loan happened to have been paid up. We explained that that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah with its machlokis is describing a scenario where the borrower is admitting owing the money. The Rabbanan say, fine, you're admitting you owe the money, but maybe you paid it up already, and you're giving, and the attempt to give the lender the shtar back and based on your claim that you still owe the money is simply a means of collecting the loan again, but this time from purchasers who aren't obligated to cover a loan that's already been paid up. So that's the opinion of that explains the opinion of the Rabbanan, why not to return loan documents, even if they lack a lien clause in it. Avol. However, kishein chayav moidet, if the borrower is denying owing any money, divrei hakol, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Meir will agree, lo yachzir, do not return documents to the lender, dechayshinon lepiron, we're choshesh that it was already paid up. And hence we understand why the borrower, he's denying owing any money. If he's denying, we do not return, because we're choshesh that the loan has already been paid up. Rashi says, "Avo kishein shedivrei hakol lo yachzu dechayshin el piron kidika omar." We're choshesh that the loan was paid up already, and if you give that document back to the lender, he'll end up being able to seize properties from purchasers shelo kadin. At this point, we have seen three approaches. We saw Shmuel explaining Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. We saw Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yochanan all explaining the shittas in the Mishnah. At this point, the Gemara will cite a Tanaic source, a Brisa, which the Gemara will demonstrate supports Rabbi Yochanan's approach, presents a problem to Rabbi Lozer on one count, and a problem for Shmuel on two counts. So as you look in our marked Gemaras, you'll notice we have a long point marking. This long point will take you down several lines down the top of Daf Yud Dalid Amud Aleph. As you look at the Gemara in a bird's eye fashion, you see a framed section encompassing about six lines. That's our Tanaic source. Following the Tanaic source, you see a double underline, which highlights the expression Tiyufta de Rabbi Lozer Bechada, and as was mentioned earlier in the Gemara, and on Yud Dalid Omid Aleph, three lines from the top, you see Tiyufta de Shmuel Betarti, also highlighted, where the Gemara spells out how this Tanaic source presents a problem for Shmuel on two counts. The note the use of the triangles that follow the Tanaic source, where the Gemara will quote points, laws stated by the Amoroyim, and then you'll notice the inverted triangles where the points of the Brisa are featured that present the problem for that which was said by the Amora. Now the Gemara. Tanya Kavose de Rabbi Yochanan Utyufto de Rabbi Elazar Bechado Utyufto de Shmuel Betarti. So we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan, presents a problem for Belozer on one count and a problem for Shmuel on two counts. What does the source say? Motza Shtarei Chov. Someone found loan documents. V'yesh bohem achrayas nechosim, and there is a lien clause in them. Afal pi sheshneim moedim, even if the borrower and the lender admit that a loan was extended, and it's still the money is still outstanding. Lo yachsi loy loze veloy loze. The loan document cannot be returned to either party. Ein bohem achrayas nechosim, if there is no lien clause in the document. Bizman shaloy vemoida yachsir lamalve. As long as the borrower admits he still owes the money, it can be returned to the lender. Ein haloyve moide, if the borrower denies owing money, lo yachsir, lo loze velo loze, divrei Rabbi Meir. The loan document, even though it's lacking a lien clause in it, it cannot be returned to either party. Shehoya Rabbi Meir Oimer, Shtorei Chov Shiesh B'machrayas Nechosim Goyve Minechosim Mishubadim. Rabbi Meir teaches that loan documents that have lien clauses written in them enable the lender to collect from purchasers, people who purchased properties from the borrower subsequent to the date of the loan. V'she'en Bohem Achrayas Nechosim. Loan documents that don't have a lien clause written in them, goyvim nechosim b'nechorin, entitle the lender to collect from properties currently held by the borrower himself. Those are the b'nechorin. V'chachomim omrim echad zeh ve'echad zeh, whether it's a loan document with a lien clause written in it, or even if it's not present, that kind of shtar. A loan document is echozeh v'echozeh geve minechosim mishubadim, entitled the lender to collect from purchasers. Tiyufta de Rabbi Elazar b'chada. There is information in this Tanaic source that presents a problem for Rabbi Elazar on one count. I want to preempt the Gemara, because as we go on in the Gemara, it's going to appear as if there are two points that run counter to Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara is going to ask this very question. You're telling me that the Tanaic source presents a problem for Rabbi Elazar on one count, but as we read through the Gemara, it's going to appear that it appears problematic to him on two counts. And that you will see in the last four words of this Omid in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, "V'ho'hani tarti hu." The Gemara will raise that seeming inconsistency or discrepancy. Now, let's turn to the Gemara itself. Tiyufta de Rabbi Elazar b'chada, this Tanaic source presents a problem for Rabbi Elazar on one count. And the triangles, as we said, introduce the points of Rabbi Elazar, and then the inverted triangle that you see later will be where the Gemara cites information in the Braisa that runs counter to what Rabbi Elazar says. So the Gemara continues, "The Omar, Rabbi Elazar had said, Le Rebbe Meir," he explained, Rebbe Meir, and this you can see above in the upper part of our Omid, the beginning of today's Shir, Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, had explained the Tana, Rebbe Meir, Shtar She'ein Boy Achrayas Nechosim, a loan document that doesn't have any lien clause in it, Eino Goyve Minechosim Mishubadim, Velo Minechosim B'nei Chorin. No collection is made from, certainly not from purchasers, those are the Mishubadim, and not even from B'nei Chorin. If you want, you can look back to the top line of our Gemara where Rabbi Elazar said that according to Rabbi Meir, assuming for a moment that the Love is not Modeh. We saw that scenario in the Bryce and the Tanaic source as well. Where the Love is not Modeh, Rabbi Meir said a shtar that has no Achrayas in it. Can be returned because it's not goveh from, it doesn't entitle collection from anybody, from purchasers and not from the lender and not from the borrower himself. So that is what we saw above, that a shtar shein bo achrayas nechasim doesn't collect from mishubadim and not from b'nei chorin. A second point that the Gemara highlights, the Ka'omar, Rabbi Elazar also said above, Bein the Rabbi Meir, Bein the Rabbanon, Lo Yichayshinon Lekinunya. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can look above, and you saw that where Rabbi Elazar described a scenario where the borrower admitted owing the money. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, so you can return the loan document to the lender, and we're not choshesh, we're not suspicious of foul play. So that is the approach Rabbi Elazar took to the Tanoim above. Ubraisa katani. However, in the Braisa, it was taught, shtar she'ein boi achrayas nechosim, a loan document that lacks a lien clause in it. Mimishavdi hu delo gavi ha mi bnei chayrin migva gavi. It cannot be used to collect from purchasers, but it can be used to collect from properties currently held by the borrower. Notice the dashed underline here, mi bnei chayrin migva gavi, and just two lines up, where we dashed on the line below, Minachasim b'nei chorin. So that you see that the Tanaic source runs counter to Rebbe Elazar's approach on this matter. The Katani, and another point in the source was, Bein the Rabbi Meir, Bein the Rabbanon, Chayshinon l'kinunya. Whether it be according to Rabbi Meir or the Rabbanon, there is suspicion of foul play, the Katani. It taught, you found this in the source itself. It said, Afapi Shishneim Moidim, even though both admit to the existence of an outstanding loan, Lo Yachsu, Lo Lozeh, Velo Lozeh, it shall not be returned. That was in the context of a shtar. We saw that in the opening of the Tanaic source. You might want to use the little star that you see to the side of the Gemara text, and you can see where this appeared in the source. If you have both parties admitting that there's an outstanding loan, nevertheless, do not return. Why not? Because there is chashash, there is a suspicion of foul play. So at this point, then, we see how the Tanaic source contradicts, refutes Rabbi Elazar on these points. The Gemara asks, "V'ha hani tarti hu?" Well, does it not appear then that there are really two points that the two points made by Rabbi Elazar are contradicted by this Tanaic source? Why did you say above that the source is tufta de Rabbi Elazar b'chada? The Gemara answers. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Dalid. Chada hu. It really is one point. The chad tam hu. The mishum de komer Rabbi Elazar machloikis b'she'ein chayav moide hu mitaretz hochi. Since Rabbi Elazar the Amora explained the machlokis in the Mishnah as referring to a case of or a situation where the borrower denies the loan, and only under those circumstances did you have a machlokes, leaving us to infer, though, that if the borrower admits owing the loan, then there would be return. So one, and there would be return, and we're not choshish for piron and kenunya. So you can see that that point of not being choshish for piron and kenunya is an outgrowth, is an extension, it's a result of an inference made by his basic explanation of the machlokes applying only when ein chayav modeh, where the borrower denies. Rashi explains this on the top line, umishani chadahu techad taimahu. Tam echod, one explanation, hiskikai l'rebelozer loymar shtean, caused rebelozer to say both points. The mishum de komar machlokes de masnisin b'shein chayav moideh. Since Rabbi Lozer said that the machlokes in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Meir says there's a possibility of returning the loan document, and that is where the ein chayav moideh, where the borrower is not admitting, huskak lomar she'ena geive afilu mibnei chorin. If you have the return of a loan document in the face of a case where the borrower is denying, so Rebbe Lozer came to the conclusion that the document will not enable the lender to collect even from the borrower's currently held properties. The cave on the Hutzrich Lesayim, and since he had to conclude with the, we'll say, the inferred case, avol kishechayev moide divrei kol yachzir. However, if the borrower admits that he owes the money, then everyone agrees that the document, the loan document, can be returned to the malve, to the lender. So huska klomar lo chashina lekanunya. That puts Rebbe Lozer in the position to say that we're not choshesh for foul play. So since Rebbe Lozer got off at the beginning by saying that the machlokes was in a case where ein chayav moideh, and Rebbe Meir says you can return the loan document, that shows us that no collection is going to be made, leaving then the inference from that if chayav moideh, there's no machlokes and everyone agrees the loan document can be returned. And that shows us that we're not choshish for foul play. So as we said, the second point is a direct follows directly from the first point. And since it's an outgrowth of the first point, it's considered only one statement. Or as we said, that the Tanaic source is refuting Rebbe Lozer on one point. True. Superficially, it looks like two points, but the second point, as we said, is an outgrowth of the first point. Hence, we refer to it as Tufta de Rebbe Lozer Bechada. We continue. Tufta de Shmuel Betarti. Here, too, we have a long point. The Tanaic source represents a problem for Shmuel on two points. Now, Shmuel, if you will recall, he appeared on Daf Yud Gimel Omer Aleph. He was the first of the three house markings, and hence you can refer back to Shmuel. So we say that the Tanaic source that we read on Yud Gimel Omer Beis presents a problem for Shmuel on two points. Chada Kerebel Ozer. Regarding one point, the problem is similar to the way we presented the problem with regard to Rebel Ozer. The Hamuki Masnisin, Shmuel set up the Mishnah B'Shein Chayov Moideh, and under those circumstances, Rabbi Meir said the Shtar She'ein Bo Achrayas can be returned to the lender. No collection is going to be made, not even from the B'nei Chori. So just like we demonstrated how the Tanaic source doesn't agree with that analysis. So the Tanei Ksus represents a problem for Shmuel on that point. The Chada, and a second point that the Tanaic source presents a problem for Shmuel. The Yomar Shmuel, Motzo Shtar Hakno Beshuk Yachsir Lebailim. If a person found a document that had the Hakno feature in it, whereby the borrower transfers ownership of his properties to the lender, and a document like that was found, Yachsir Lebailim, return the loan document to the lender. Veloi Chayshinon Lepiron. And we're not choshesh that, well, maybe the loan was actually paid up and that the lender is going to seize properties from the purchasers. Tiufta, the Katoni Hacha, the Tanaic source refutes Shmuel on that point, as it says in the source we read, even if the borrower and the lender agree that the loan is still current, it's outstanding, no return of loan documents is to be made. Why not? Almo chayshinon lepiron. We see from the Tanaic source that we do suspect that the loan actually had already been paid up. For kol shekein hacha, and all the more so over here, that we should be choshish for piron, deloy moide loive. As Shmuel explained that the Mishnah was talking about a case where the loive isn't admitting that the loan is outstanding. There we have all the more reason to suspect that the loan was actually paid up. After all, the borrower himself is saying that I don't owe the money. Omar Shmuel, my taimo de Rabbonan. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, Shitas Shmuel, Mosai Amrinon Dachrayas Lav Toi Sefer. Under what circumstances do we say that the absence of a lien clause is not a simple mistake of a scribe, but it's a deliberate deletion? So now the Gemara, we read already, Omar Shmuel, Mai Taimo de Rabbonan. What is the reason for the Rabbonan in the Mishnah that said that even if there's no Achrayas Nechosim, the lender holding a loan document without a lien clause written in it would nevertheless be able to collect from purchasers? And of course, in the Mishnah, we saw that the Rabbonan said, do not, if it's found, don't return it to the lender. That even though it's lacking a lien clause, you would be endangering the purchasers. Rashi across from here says, "My time of the Rabbonan, the Amri that said, Ki ein bo achrayas nechosim goyve af min ha-mishubadim, that a collection in general could be made from purchasers. What's the reason for that? So, Savri, the Rabbonan hold, Achrayas Toi Soiferhu. The lack of Achrayas clause, a lien clause, is a simple mistake on the part of the Sofer. And therefore, it's understood that a loan document entitles the lender to seize upon purchasers, people who purchase from the borrower, even if that clause is absent. Omar Le, Rava Bar Isi, Rav Idi Bar Oven. Rava asks a question of Rav Idi, Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel really hold that? The Omar Shmuel, Shmuel has said, Shevach, Shafar, Veshibud, Tzorich, Limlach. We take a look at Rashi across from here. Shevach Shvar Veshibud Tzorach Limlach Asoifer Tzorach Limlach. The scribe has to consult B'moicher Sode L'chavero, a person who is selling a field to a purchaser, Lishol Heimenu, to ask of him, to consult with the seller, Imikabolov Lichtoiv B'shtar Mechirashu Shibeid Lo Nechosav L'Mechirazu, does he intend to subject his other properties as a lien to back up this particular sale? If in the event that a creditor of the seller seizes property, seizes this sold property from the purchaser, the scribe is to consult with the seller. Are you willing to subject your properties to a lien to back up this sale? As we explained already, that if the purchaser of this property ends up losing the property because of a creditor that's collecting a loan that you happen to owe previously, will you make good on the sale by compensating him with properties, with other properties that you hold, and compensate him for the shevach? That's any improvement that the purchaser may have made before the property was sealed, was seized. And mishfar means from other top quality properties that you have. Will you compensate him by giving him other top quality land that you currently own? V'im, Rashi goes on, V'im lo nimlach bo lo yichtov. If the scribe doesn't consult with him on this matter, in other words, if the scribe doesn't get specific approval regarding this matter, then don't write in a lien. There are sellers that refuse to accept that kind of responsibility. You could have a situation where someone who sold properties is willing to compensate for the principal purchase price, but not for subsequent improvements that the purchaser may have made. And even if a seller is willing to accept responsibility for the principal purchase price and to compensate the purchaser for improvements he may have made prior to the seizure of his property, maybe the seller isn't willing to accept the responsibility to compensate from his top quality land, elamin habeninus, rather from medium quality land. So from all of this, from Shmuel's teaching, the absence of a lien clause doesn't indicate a mere mistake. There is room to suggest that the scribe actually did consult with the seller, and he didn't agree. He refused to have the lien clause written in. So, that having been said, we continue in the Gemara. Lema, should we say man de omar ha lo omar ha? That the Shmuel that we saw a couple lines above that says Achrayas toy sefer, whoever explained or presented Shmuel as saying thusly, doesn't explain Shmuel as saying that shevach shvar and shibud tzorach limlach. And he who says that Shmuel holds that a consultation must be made before writing in any lien clause, he would not have presented Shmuel as saying Achrayas toy sefer. And then what you have would be two different opinions as to what Shmuel holds. Should we say that? The Gemara says no. We have a long answer. Note that. Lo kashya. No. That's not an option. Literally, it's not a difficulty. It's not as if we have a difficulty in trying to find consistency in Shmuel. And there is no reason for saying that there are two different approaches to Shmuel. But rather, kan bishtar havo, de lo yoivinish zuzi bichti, kan bishtar mekach umemkar de ovidinish de zoven arali yomei. We've highlighted with a squiggle underline the two different scenarios, kan and kan. Kan, the statement of Shmuel that Achrayas Toi Sefer is Bishtar Havo. That's a loan document. If you have a document that indicates that Mr. A loaned money to Mr. B, Mr. A isn't going to loan money without security. It's just people don't, as the Gemara says, the loyoiv inish, people do not give their zuzi, their money, for nothing. If a person's going to loan money, bear in mind that one who loans money, he doesn't get anything in return for it. In fact, it would be prohibited for him to get something in return for his loan. That would be a problem of ribis, of interest, which is forbidden. Person who loans money, he's not getting anything in return other than the hope that he gets his money back. So, that being said, you can assume that he would have insisted on a lien on the borrower's property. So since a person doesn't give his money out for nothing, we assume that even if there is no lien clause written in the loan document, it is to be assumed that there is a lien. The other teaching of Shmuel involves a commercial transaction, b'mekach u'memkar, a purchase and sale of property. The oven inish, their people will behave thusly. The zoven ara liyome, people are willing to buy property even for a day. Meaning, like we say, be a king for a day. Even if the next day you're going to lose possession of the property, people have some. They figure they'll be able to get a lot out of that property, even if they have it in their possession for one day. So. That having been said, people will take the risk, so to speak, and not insist on a purchase document with a guarantee in it. So that a person might very well have purchased property where the seller was not willing to provide a lien against himself, to provide a lien, a guarantee. If anything should happen to the property, then he'll make good on it, because people will buy property even though they'll end up losing it the next day. And we, to illustrate that, ki hahi de'avua bar ihi, as is told in the following story with avua bar ihi, zoven alisa me'achte, he bought an alisa, he bought an attic, from his sister, also Balchov, his sister had owed money to someone, so her creditor came, Torfa Mine, and seized this Alisa from Avua Barihi in payment of the loan that his sister had owed. Also Lekame Demor Shmuel. So Avua Barihi came with his case to Shmuel, seeking some form of compensation for having lost the Alisa that he purchased. And Shmuel asked him, Omar Le, Kasva Loch Achrayis, did she write a guarantee to you? Did she accept a lien upon herself that if you should lose it, so that she will compensate you for it? Omar Le Lo. So Avu Abari says, no, my sister didn't provide that for me. Omar Le Im Kain. So Shmuel said, if that's the case, Zil L'Shalma, goodbye. I have nothing more to do. You apparently were moichel on. Foregoing on any further rights or claims. Omar le. So Avua Bari asks Shmuel v'amor hu d'omar achrayes toisoferhu. But you are the one that said, and we saw this above. You can see, if you want to use the arrows that you see to the side of the Gemara text, you can see above where Shmuel said that the absence of a lien clause is a mere mistake, but it's understood to be there. Omar le, so Shmuel answered, Hani mili b'shtor halva. I said that it's toy sefer, that it's a mere mistake of the scribe, but it should have been in there. That's in the case of a loan document, and we explained before, because the lender is putting himself out, not getting anything in return, not getting any benefit, so he would not loan his money unless he can get a guarantee that'll be paid back. But in the case of commercial transactions like your case, I don't say achrayas toy sefer. Rather, the absence of the guarantee might very well have been deliberate. And why would that be the case? Why would it be that a purchaser will lay out money for a purchase of real estate and not insist on having a guarantee? The oven inish the oven hour. The Yomei people will actually buy land even if it's for one day. Rashi explains at the end of the narrow lines, oven inish the oven hour li Yomei. L'safek yom echad, even on the doubt that he'll hold it for even one day, shemo lo yitrufua mimenu, maybe it won't be seized. V'im yitrufua shemo lizman ruban, even if it's seized from me, maybe it'll take a long time. V'yoycha b'sochak peiros harmi, and in the meantime, I'm able to benefit from produce that it provides. So that you don't have any claim against your sister for compensating you for the alisa that you lost to her creditor. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.